Tonight's reading is Matthew 6, 19 to 24 on page 685 in the Red Pew Bible, so I'll just give you a second to do that. Alright. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Can you all hear me all right? Yeah, good. When talking to Luke, one of the things that we like to do at a youth service is to give you a bit of an insight, a bit of an idea of what it's like when you come to youth, or if you were to come to youth, what it's like. Oh, I can't see anybody. This is weird. We don't normally do this of an evening service like this, but we thought we'd give you a bit of an insight and see that. But I also wanted to make sure that we would look at God's word closely together. And so I've brought along a couple of friends that you'll meet in a moment that are going to help us think about that. I'm going to pray and then we'll head into this and have a look at Matthew chapter 6 together. So would you pray with me? Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the greatest treasure that our hearts could ever desire. Thank you that you are the most loving, giving master we could ever hope for. And so we ask tonight that as we look at this text that you might remind us that we should long for you, that we should thirst for you, and you above all things. Heavenly Father, help us to turn our hearts and our minds to you in order that we might bring you all the glory. I pray that tonight what we do is really helpful, and that if people find it a little bit difficult, a bit unusual, that they feel comfortable enough to ask, and we can talk about that another time. But I really do pray, Lord, that you might receive all the glory that your name deserves. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I said, we're going to look at Matthew 6, but just to sort of help us understand what it is that we truly value, I've got a couple of friends that are going to help us. We're going to see that where your treasure is, where your focus is, well, there also is your heart. So that means if we think about it and we find our treasure and we find our focus, we're also going to find our heart, but we're also going to find our master, the person we serve, because Jesus tells us you can only serve one master. And so where our heart's desire is, we're also going to find our master. But I have a couple of friends. The first two, I'd like to sort of let them introduce themselves a little bit. They're going to come on stage and they're going to help us think a little bit about that now.
Come this way, Jim.
Yes.
Just go around there to the couch.
Where's the couch?
Back this way, Jim.
Yes.
Over here. Follow the voice.
Yes.
Did you watch the game the other night?
You're talking about the Origin game.
Yeah, the one with Peter Sterling.
Yes, 20 years ago, yes.
That was a great game.
Yeah, too bad he lost his hair these days.
Yeah, that's all right.
Anyway,
Jim, how you been?
Good, I've been good. I've been really good. I've got some exciting news.
Some news?
Yes.
What, was it on the ABC?
No.
Oh, 2UE.
No, not that kind of news. Different news.
What other types of news is there?
Personal news, about me.
Personal news?
Yes.
You haven't told me about personal news since you kissed Daphne at the school dance.
Yes, Daphne.
Oh, yes. Daphne. Anyway, you said you had some news.
Yes, I got some exciting news. I should tell you.
Yes. Can you tell me now?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So, you know me.
Very well.
Yes. Well, I've had a big dream my whole life.
Oh, wow.
And I decided that one day I would set aside some money.
Okay.
And then when I had enough money, I'd buy myself a very important present. And I think
yes.
I'm ready to do that.
Wow.
Yes, I'm going to buy myself a cruiser.
A cruiser?
Yes.
Are you talking about going on the cruise with all your grandkids?
No. A cruiser. A Harley Davidson motorcycle just for me.
A motorcycle?
Yes.
You're telling me at 86 years old...
Yes?
You're going to buy yourself a motorcycle?
Well, of course. I've
Jim,
always wanted to.
You'll fall off.
But...
You can't even get on your scooter wheelchair.
No. I have to buy it. I've always
Jim.
Wanted one. Yeah, that'd be right. Don't worry about the scooter. When I've got the Harley, I'll probably take it out every week.
Jim,
Sunday
this,
rider.
This
I'll
is
never
ridiculous.
Fall off. I'll go over 20 k's an hour.
Oh, no, Jim, no. Plus, where are you going to store it?
I'll keep it in the garage. I've got plenty of room in there.
Yeah, you do have plenty of room. You kept forgetting to lock it and everything gets stolen.
Yes, but
plus, Jim,
this'll be different. You know, I'll look after it and I'll lock the door.
Well, even if that's the case, it'll get rusty because you can't ride it.
No.
Jim, no, mate. You've got to focus on the cruise.
The cruise.
The cruise round the world.
I don't know.
That's what you want to be doing, Jim.
Why?
All the memories that you'll make. What? Long-term focus, Jim.
I don't know.
With the grandkids.
The grandkids? You know my grandkids, Billy and Bronte
and
Brandon and Bobby and Billy. And,
you said Billy.
Yes.
They'll be there. That's why you want to go on the cruise.
But that reminds me. I should call Billy because he's now got four sons.
Does
Johnny
he?
And Joel. And I'm going to get some motorcycle helmets for the young ones. My great-grandchildren. They can come with me.
I better on your motorcycle?
I'm going to buy the helmets.
No, Jim.
Yes.
You don't even have a license.
How about Jim and Morty, eh? An interesting couple of blokes. It was interesting when you listen to what it is that Jim really wanted. What did Jim really want? What was his heart's desire? What was it that he was treasuring above all things? A cruiser. Yeah, a cruiser, which is a motorcycle, a Harley Davidson. It seems ridiculous. The scripture said, we're thinking about the fact that where you find your treasure, you also find your heart. What was it that Jim was treasuring? Above all other things, a cruiser. It seems ridiculous for that old bloke to want that cruiser. And we'll have a think a little bit more about why in a second. But Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. The cruiser sounds a little bit like one of those earthly things, doesn't it? And it seemed a little bit ridiculous. Did you notice how ridiculous it was? I mean, even the fact that he's never going to use it. Slowly over time, it'll rust, it'll be destroyed, and the guy can't even lock his garage. So the chances are it's going to get stolen like the rest of the stuff that he had. Where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. That's what earthly things are, and it is just ridiculous. Jimmy's crazy. But are we any different? I mean, what treasures do you have? Do you desire? What is your greatest dream when it comes to what it is you want to have? I mean, treasure is basically just anything that is valuable, anything that has some sort of value, but also an earthly treasure is anything that will perish, anything that's going to perish as well. It's kind of like if you love chocolate milk, it don't make any sense to think, I'm going to put chocolate milk in this chest over here and treasure it so much because I want to keep this for all time. What's going to happen to your chalky milk? Like it'll probably become chalky custard and then after that it ain't no good. It doesn't make any sense, does it? These things go off. So Jesus says, do not. He actually says, stop. Stop storing these things up. Why? Well, ultimately, and what we really need to hear tonight is what verse 21 says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ultimately, your treasure points toward what your heart desires. Your heart, and the scriptures talk about this all the time, the heart is the center of all your desires, your affections. It's what you long for and want. It's what you value most. And so where your treasure is, there is your heart. That is what you love. That is what you value. That is what is ultimate to you. And that's the point of this passage tonight. The point of these little skits that we're going to have as well. What we love, what we value, what we serve, what is that? And it's important because you don't often think about it that way, do you? You sort of just go through your life and there's things that you get, there's things that you desire, there's things, but you never really that often sit down. I think that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, hey, look at your treasures. Look at the things that you chase after, these earthly things. And we actually skipped a part, didn't we? He's saying, find your treasure, you find your heart. Stop caring about earthly things because verse 20, instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And what happens there? Where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Stop earthly, start the heavenly because the earthly go off. But heavenly lasts forever. I mean, it seemed pretty silly that Jim was willing to trade in the cruise, wasn't it? All expenses paid, round the world trip with all these grand kiddies, Billy and Billy and Billy. Yeah, you see, he had a lot of them. It seems a poor deal to trade in the momentary stuff that we long for and cling to in this life for the vast eternity that we could spend with our God. The tinsel-wrapped, photoshopped, advertised lives that we seem to long for here. You find your treasure and you'll find your heart. And this is going to develop as we meet our next couple of friends. We see what we focus on does the exact same thing.
Better work on that woodwork assignment I told Dad I was going to do. I think I'll stick around after school, get it done.
Oh, what a day.
Better call my son, see how he's going with that woodwork assignment. I bet you he's forgot. Hey, Dad. Hey, son, how you going, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Just working on this woodwork assignment. I thought I'd stick around after school and try and get it done, you know, nut it out, get it done with the boys.
Wait, you're telling me you're doing it?
Yeah, working on it now.
Oh,
yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, it won't be too long, but I think it'll be maybe about an hour, hour and a half tops.
An hour?
Yeah, just head home soon. So I'll see you soon, you know, okay. I'm just going to nut it out with the boys.
All right, see you in a sec.
All right, bye.
Good, bye.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, son, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Hey, it's been 3 hours. Where you been?
Oh, you know, just, you know, getting it done with the boys.
Yeah. You've been doing the woodwork the whole time?
No, we did about, you know, 45 minutes and then we got some hot chips. Yeah.
Wow. So for 45 minutes, did you get anything done?
Yeah, it made some really solid progress, I think, you know.
Okay, what kind of progress?
Well, me and Joey especially, we sat down, we made this really awesome plan. And we basically know what we're going to do tomorrow.
Do you have the plan? Do you want to show me?
No, it's all up here, Dad.
You're telling me you spent 45 minutes making a mental plan.
Yeah, mental progress, Dad. Really good. Really good, you know. But tomorrow, part of the plan is, I told Joey, I'll come home, chat to you, because I know that you're a carpenter, construction manager, you know what you're doing. Right. And I'll come talk to you, give him a call, we'll work it out. That way tomorrow when we go in, we can smash it out, get it done.
So you need some help?
Yeah. So basically...
And you ready to listen?
Yeah, what happened was, we're in the workshop.
Yep.
I was putting the drawer together for this cabinet, and then I put the face on the two ends, and I glued it together, and then when I pulled the face of the drawer, it fell off and the whole thing fell apart.
Straight off?
Yeah, it just fell off.
What glue did you use?
The blue one. You know this one? This kind of... And then... Should I have used the purple one? The boys told me it was going to dry clear.
That's the glue that your sister uses in her craft.
But I'm a craftsman, Dad.
No, that's paper craft, not wood crafting.
Oh, well, okay. Well, what's the difference?
Don't use glue. Okay. What you want to do is you want to create a dovetail joint. Do you know about dovetail joints?
Yeah, that's the thing my woodwork teacher, Mr. G, talks about.
Mr. G?
Yeah. Dove bird thing.
Dovetail joint.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. Do you know how to do it?
No.
You want to listen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, you focused?
Yeah, I'm focused.
We're ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so get your piece of wood.
Yep.
Put it inside the vise.
What's the vise again?
The vise is like the clamp. You unwind it, you put your...
Just say the windy thing. That's way easier to remember.
You kids. Yeah. All right, windy thing. Open up the windy thing, put your piece of timber in there, close it up, make sure it's nice and tight. Come in at about 45, and then cut at an angle of 45 degrees. Cut in 45 degrees,
hey, Dad,
cut back the other
hold 40. Hold that thought. I just got tagged in a meme.
Wait, is this something
this
from
out.
Woodwork?
Joey tagged me in this meme of a cat wearing pajamas, but he's on a trampoline.
You kids find this funny.
Dad, there's at least like 20 comments that say lol on that.
Lots of love?
No, Dad, just forget it. You should be thankful I showed you this. Doesn't matter. Just keep going.
I feel privileged.
Just keep going.
Anyway, do you remember what I said before? Where'd you get up to?
You said something about a 45 dove bird.
45, yeah. You're cutting in at 45. Yep. Cut in at 45. Do that across the whole board.
Yeah.
Then swap it out so you get the next piece, the face.
Mm-hmm.
Do 45 degrees again, but don't cut the middle. Don't chisel out the middle. Mm. Chisel out the one to the side. Mm. Keep going 45, back 45.
Speaking about 45, Dad, selfie I posted this afternoon, 45 likes already.
Son, I don't understand how that gets any likes. You're wearing these stupid socks.
What do you mean, Dad? This is fashionable. And I need to look good at all times in case any of the girls walk past. They got to see me wearing socks like this.
But son,
You're in an all-boys class.
Dad, what you don't understand is the woodworking class, the workshop is right here, next door, textiles and sewing. Girls for days.
Oh,
and I down see. The hall yeah. is cooking.
And that's where Emma is.
That's where Emma is.
Okay. What? Were you with Emma when you were having fish and chips?
Dad, I can't help if I go to chips with Joey. Joey brings Catherine. Catherine's friends with Leanne, and she's best friends with Emma, and she happens to be there, okay? It's not my fault.
Coincidence?
Yes. Joey.
All right.
That reminds me, Joey, I got to call him. Actually, I told him I was
about the woodwork.
About woodwork, but also about this selfie because it looks really good, and I already got 45 likes.
Oh, man, if only he could just concentrate. It's just like he's in the dark. He doesn't even know it.
Matt makes a very patient father, doesn't he? Jackson. Find your treasure and you find your heart. Find your focus and you'll also find your heart. It's interesting, isn't it? Even if you were wanting to walk this way, if you're looking at some other point, where do you end up? You end up where it is that you're focusing. And if we want to talk about somebody who couldn't find their focus, that son had no hope. He was distracted at all times. He could not focus in on that cabinet, even if he was trying to stick it together with glue. Jesus, in this next little part of our passage, uses an example that helps us think about this as well. He says, the eye is like the lamp for the body. So in a way, the eye is what allows for the light to enter in to the body and cast the light in there. Now, if the eye is good, what happens? Light can flood in and fill the body. If the light is bad, they're going to be in darkness. And the whole point of the good word is about the focus. What is it that this eye is looking at and taking in? Is it a single focus, a purpose that you have? Because the result is, if the eye is good, what happens? The whole body is filled with light. If the eye is bad, it's filled with what? What you're in. Like now, not I don't know with you. Your darkness, yeah. It means you walk in the wrong ways. Whereas if you're filled with light, you're walking in the right ways. And it's horrible when you think it is actually. I had a mate who we argued for ages in primary school about whether, like I knew that green was green and blue was blue. He was convinced that green was blue and blue was green. And so for years, he used to argue with me. I was like, no, man, that's green. No, Brad, it's blue. I can see it's blue. It's green. One time he got in trouble from the teacher because he argued with her about it as well. And it's like, dude, are you picking up on what's going on here? Turned out he was colorblind. And he really didn't know the difference between green and blue. And he found out, was able to fix some of that stuff going on. But the reality was he had no idea that there was something wrong with his eye. That there was something wrong with how his head looked at all that stuff. Just like the son, he didn't even know that he was in the darkness. You heard the father. If he could only focus. It's like he's in the dark and he doesn't even know it. And that's terrible to think for us. If we think that we're walking in the light, if we think that we have the right focus in life and our hearts desire that and long for it, and yet we're in the darkness. And so we've got to stop and think. Find our focus and we find our heart. What the son really cared about, it certainly wasn't the woodwork, was it? And yet we might be the same, caring about all these other different things and yet maybe thinking that we're wanting to follow God, maybe thinking that we actually have the right focus when it comes to our lives, and yet we might be fully in the dark. You see, where your focus is also where your heart is. And my final friends help us to see that where your treasure is, where your focus is, where your heart is actually what you're really serving in this life. And Jesus' last example teaches us that you can only serve one master at the end of the day. And so where your treasure is, where your focus is, that's where your heart is. And at the end of the day, that is what you're serving. So I'd like to ask Matt and Jackson now to come out.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, mate, I'm good.
Good to see you.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been ages and ages. It's like 12 months since the last time we caught up.
No, not that long. It's been pretty...
Oh, well, I mean, since you stopped coming to church on Sundays, it's way harder to catch up. But it's been about 12 months, I think, the last time we caught up.
Yeah, Sunday's a bit hard now. It's a bit hard.
What's going on with yourself? You've been doing much lately?
Oh, yeah, I'm just hanging out with Sid.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's good. Sid has a bit of troubles. He said he needed me, so I've been there with Sid.
That's good. There's a friend, you know, helping him out. What's going on with him at the moment?
Oh, Sid, he's having a few troubles with Billy.
Billy?
So, yeah.
Which one's Billy again?
Oh, that's Jim's grandson.
Jim, the old the neighbourhood guy. Hey, yeah. didn't he fall off his motorbike lately?
Yeah, he was driving down the driveway, fell over.
Didn't even make it out the driveway.
No. Then I think it got stolen.
The bike?
It's pretty bad. Anyway, that's why Billy's in a bad spot. Therefore, Sid's in a bad spot. That's why I'm there for Sid.
Well, it's good that you're sort of helping out a mate who's helping out a mate.
Sid, mate, yeah. I've got to help him out.
But that's enough on Sid. You know, tell me about you. I want to hear about you. What's the latest? Tell me about university. Tell me about uni.
You wouldn't believe what happened at uni.
You got HD. I know you. You got HD.
No, not quite.
What happened?
No. Sid said I should change course.
Sid, good. That's cool.
It is cool. I'm doing studies of Van Gogh and Shakespeare.
Yep.
Sid said that's the way to go, mate, so I'm there. I'm doing it. It's been good. We're hanging out. We do notes together. It's cool.
Awesome. It's a little different from engineering and maths. That's what you were doing before. I didn't really pick you for a study of the art history kind of guy.
That's right. Things change, and it's all good. It's all good, though. Yeah, but anyway, enough about me. What about you?
Oh, I'm sweet, you know. Same old, you know. Youth's been great on Friday night, and everyone from church is doing really well, and, you know, still catching up with, like, sport during the week. You remember when we used to play golf on Mondays? We should do that again.
Golf. Golf's great.
We should play this Monday.
This Monday?
Yes, let's play.
I can't play Monday.
Why not, man?
I'm playing basketball with Sid.
But you hate basketball, and you're not even good. You can't dunk or shoot.
Look, Sid needed to play. He said, can I play? Barry, he went to jail for drug trafficking. But I'm there for Sid, so I'm playing basketball.
I mean,
it's all good. Yeah.
I suppose you could have got someone else. But he could have got someone else, surely. He could have just said no.
I didn't think of that, man. He just needed me. I was there.
Okay, geez. Oh, well.
Anyway, you should come, bud.
I'll come, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll come and support you. I'll come and watch.
The boys are there.
Great.
Yeah, the girls are there.
Even better.
It's good.
Yeah,
you should come.
Is Sid's girlfriend go? Leanne. Leanne, that's who. Yeah.
No, that was last week. This week it's Steph.
Oh, okay. Changed that quickly.
Yeah, I know. I found it a bit weird too, but you get used to it. I think it's okay.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Oh, sorry, it's just a little bit. It's a bit much to take in. You're a bit of a different guy these days, you know, 12 months, long time, but it's like Shakespeare and then basketball. It's like your whole life is about Sid at the moment, you know.
What'd you say?
Oh, sorry, it's like, it sounds like your whole life is about Sid.
Ah. No, not really.
I mean, what do you think I said?
Oh, sorry, I thought you said something else.
What do you think I said?
I thought you said, it's like my whole life is about sin.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said at all, but I mean, it's an interesting point you raise and probably something to talk about another time, but I mean, I got to go, man.
I got to go
to soccer training, but
yeah, I got to get the bus.
But
so,
yeah, maybe we can catch up another time.
Oh, yeah, soon, maybe.
You know, I don't know. Do something else.
Soon, yeah.
Where your treasure is where your heart is, where your focus is where your heart is. And where your heart is actually what you really serve. And did you pick that up from how it is that Matt, really, he was just serving Sid. Everything was about Sid. Every little decision he made in the end had something to do with Sid. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus sets it up very bluntly, very straight. You can't serve two masters. I kind of picture a dog that has two people that they like, they love to go and see this person over here and that person over there. But if they're both standing there one day and they both whistle, that dog's got to make a decision, don't it? It's either going to go to one or the other. It can't tear itself down. I don't even want to think about that. It's got to make a decision, doesn't it? And it's the exact same in this context. You see, when it's talking about a master, it's talking about a slave. This isn't just like working a few jobs so you can be like, yeah, I'm coming back to work that one as well. No. This is talking from the context where there's a slave working for a master and they can only have one. And so you find your treasure, you find your focus, you find your heart, and right there you find your master, because the treasures, the focuses, they consume us, don't they? It's what we dream about. It's what we desire. It's what we make our little decisions about. We may not even realize it. There, we find who it is we really serve. And Jesus says, you can only serve one master. And now, like young people, I know this is youth service. This can be really hard. You're not even maybe thinking about this sort of stuff. It's all, what? What are you talking about? My heart's desires. And then I read like money and you're like, I don't even have any of that. You're not alone. There's probably plenty of people who feel that way. But while we're on the money part, this little comparison that Jesus makes between God and money, why would he say money? Well, firstly, how much is it that financial considerations impact our choices? And this is for all of us, not just for the youth. Let's just start with the big ones, eh? Choice of job, choice of where you live, what you eat, where you eat, who you interact with, what future house you want, what future car you want, what future you want for your kids. I mean, this financial stuff has a real pull, doesn't it? And it starts to make us think, whoa. And the word here actually for money relates to the word mammon, which is Aramaic or Hebraic. And it talks about something in which one puts their confidence. And so we can stretch this beyond just money, can't we? If I'm honest, I feel like I was Matt and I had a number of SIDs at high school. A number of relationships that I just wanted, needed acceptance. I needed value. And so slowly over time, I started to realize that really I was serving those people. And you might not realize it now, but these decisions, and this is why I think Jesus is calling us to do it, these decisions, these things that we look at as our treasures, our focuses, they do start to become what we serve. People, acceptance, am I valued, the value of other people's opinions of me. And at school, that can be super easy. It can even be church. Who or what has become your master? Because it's not just at school and it's not just about people. Did you notice the Sid sin moment? It's actually pretty profound. When good things become the ultimate things, when all of life revolves around Sid, let's say, you've got to consider, what does your life revolve around? Because that is sin. If that is everything you desire and it's not God, that's sin. They might be good things, but they might have become the ultimate things. All of life revolving around the house, the car, work or exercise, your body, your family, those trips, those relationships, that person, your reputation. What if people knew I was doing this or was with that person or did that? We work hard, we try and live multiple sort of lives or realities, and social media makes that a little bit easier, don't it? We can get 45 likes for a cat wearing pajamas jumping on a trampoline. Like, that's going to make us feel a bit better. But what ends up happening is you become a slave to that. And slaves are dependent on their masters, aren't they? Think about Sid. Matt. He was so dependent on what Sid had to say, and that's where he was gaining his approval. What do these things give you? What do these masters offer? What do they take from you? You see, because you find your treasure, you find your focus, and you also find your master. And that is what you're really relying on. And this is why it is so good that Jesus is the one saying this stuff. Jesus, in this little part, is in the Sermon on the Mount, getting people to see the right perspective as he heads towards the cross. He's getting people to see God's kingdom perspective, what it's like to live as one of his people with him as the master. Now, it can be hard to let go of all those things that are your masters, can't it? It can be hard to let go, but Jesus offers so much more. You want to talk about treasure? The scriptures talk about the fact that the kingdom of God is like the greatest treasure that could ever be found. That when you find it, you know what you want to do? Go and sell absolutely everything you've got. So you can have that. You want to talk about a good focus? Jesus is called life. He's called light. He says, I come to give life and life in its full. I mean, think about what youth is all about. It's on your shirt. And as a master, what sort of master loves like Jesus, who gives even to the point of death, just so he can be with you? What sort of master does that? He doesn't take. He's willing to give, so you can have that treasure, you can have that focus. But ultimately, he wants your heart. What other master is like that, that longs for your heart like that? So if you want acceptance, if you want value, if you want love, if you want care, you know who you got to serve? You got to serve Jesus. You've got to treasure the heavenly things. You've got to focus on what it is that he longs for and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my master. Now, I don't know all of you in the youth, whether you've made that decision yet or whether that's something you want to make. I don't know all of you adults either, or whether you've tonight started to think, hey, hang on, where is my treasure? Where is my focus? Where is my heart? I long for it to be back with my master. Tonight's a chance where we can be reminded that we treasure the Lord Jesus and his work. We focus on his ways and we serve him as our master. And my hope and prayer is that we might do that. So I'm going to pray that now and then we'll sing a song together to finish. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the greatest master that we could ever imagine, that he is the one that we should want as our ultimate, that he is the one that we should want as our master because of how it is that he loves and gives. Please, Lord, help us to treasure the heavenly things. Help us to focus on you. Help us to have a heart that desires for you above all other things, all to the glory of your name. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.